The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. The 21st century has introduced new norms and resources that are of immense value to businesses and their bottom line. Yet in business, we require relevance and innovation, not just more information. We need the true stories of what works and what does not work. Our program today will tell you what you need to know. The experiences, perspectives, and resources shared by Jen and her guests will make all the difference for you and your business moving forward. Now, here's your host, Jen Sabin.
Hello, hello, and welcome, everyone. Welcome to Moving Forward. I'm Jen Sabin, and delighted to have everyone here today. We've got an extraordinary guest, and the topic we're going to be discussing is really around this. There's what you do and there's the business of what you do. And we've had so many great guests on this show, from Matt Johnson of SupLove to Kelly, you know, golf, one of the top female golf pros in the country, who was on the tour and then realized she loved to teach, and her story from there to becoming a best-selling author, etc. You know, to just this really interesting dynamic about how people find themselves doing work that is just completely fulfilling, calls to them, kind of the adventure of a lifetime, and at the same time, they've created something, they founded something, whether they're entrepreneurs or entrepreneurial, there's this piece where they've brought something into existence that wasn't there before, and so they're responsible for the business of it all. And we've heard from nonprofits and not-for-profits and, you know, all different type of founders and creators and initiators, and from presidents to CEOs, etc. Well, today our guest is someone who is just extraordinary. A few minutes before we started, I'll tell you a moment, we had a conversation that is not the typical conversation I have prior to going on the show, right? And today we have Travis Lee. Now, some of you may be familiar with Travis Lee, maybe some of those in the South Florida local community, you know, you're aware of Travis Lee, or certainly of Greenfield Reserve and Sanctuary. And Travis is going to tell you more about it. However, you know, what does it take to create something that is, you know, just such an authentic expression, so much of what you love, and perhaps a divergent path from when you kind of stood at a certain point in your life or were embarking upon your professional career? It's not necessarily where you saw yourself. And I'm just going to tell you a bit about Greenfield Animal Reserve before we go to Travis. And that is, it's an organization that is really committed to assisting various registered organizations with the rescue and rehabilitation of their exotic and endangered species. My understanding is Travis and they started with tigers and expanded out. We're talking zebras, snakes, birds, you know, and monkeys, the full spectrum. And just really, really extraordinary what Travis has built and some of the unique challenges to the growth and flourishing of this organization, this enterprise that he's created, Greenfield Reserve. So without much further ado, Travis, welcome.
Well, hello there. How are you today?
Great. How are you doing?
You know, it's another day, running around crazy and just trying to keep everybody in order and all my bills and animals in order as well.
Now, tell us a bit about how Greenfield Reserve came to be. Was this something, you know, that when you were a kid, it was like a done deal, this was going to happen? How did it come to be?
It's funny you say it that way. Without knowing it, yes. My mom knew this was going to happen, but I didn't. She used to, you know, I'd bring everything home that I could catch, from raccoons to squirrels, snakes, gators, and she was the poor thing that had to water and feed everything. After a week, I got tired of it. And which is part of the reason I'm in the business I am today. You know, people get into something and they don't realize what they get into, or they get tired of it. But it started out where I helped a couple people with a couple animals, exotics, tigers and whatnot, and I found that I'd had a really cool way of working with them, and I'd acclimate that into rescuing and servicing them for medical needs and whatnot.
Well, now, is this what you – did you always do this, or did you have another profession prior?
Actually, I used to be a concert promoter, and my grandfather had an air conditioning heating company in Daytona, and that just didn't seem too appealing to me, climbing up in an attic all day and sweating. And so I stuck with the animals, and we're about 10 years old right now, and we started out with a couple tigers, helping a few people, and then it didn't stop. I started assisting other entities, fish and game, animal control, all around this country, from California to here. And then it's just blossomed is an interesting word, but it's just totally grown into this whole entity of itself. Now I'm just called. I don't advertise. We're not open to the public, but we are called upon when there's a strange situation or something needs to be helped, hopefully before it gets shot or put down. They'll call me, and I can help coerce the animal into an enclosure or a trailer or into a safe environment in order to transport or to medicate it.
So this is really interesting. And I mean, what I'm hearing is, in this world, you're kind of a B2B, like business to business. This isn't about the general public. This isn't that dynamic. And yet at the same time, it sounds like you really addressed a need that was prevalent. Was this part of what had you do it, or was it just kind of this evolution?
You would be so surprised at the amount of animals that are exotics that are just in this state alone. Plus, you know, our growing population in the houses as we build west, all of our animals are losing their property and real estate. You know, the panthers, we have more panthers in captivity now than we have actually in the wild. And you just wouldn't believe all the people that have these animals. And it's like, I'm really glad Fish and Game is cutting, you know, tightening the noose on the permits and things like that, because back in the day, you know, it was really easy to obtain these type of permits to have these animals, which it's not anymore. And they're making people kind of upgrade their properties and their permits in order to maintain and keep their permits, which is really needed really bad. But for the ones that are already in existence, and you know, a lot of these people have been doing this for, I've been doing it for 20 years, and you know, I'm almost 50, but there's people I deal with in their 70s and 80s that still have these permits and these animals. So it's like, when they started, it was a lot different, and there's a lot more room. Today there's a lot less room, and the medication and food is just outrageous. I'm fortunate enough to work with a couple different veterinarians, a couple different hospitals that donate their time to me, and sometimes the medication and the antibiotics, and which is why people come to me. We did a cesarean on a tiger not too long ago. I got a call in the middle of the night. The cat was bound up, meaning she wasn't passing, her stomach was all messed up. They brought the tiger into town, into Boynton Beach, and we went to one of my veterinarians, and that poor guy got up at 2:30, 3 in the morning, went with me, met me at his office, and we did a cesarean at like 3:15 in the morning. And he didn't charge me anything. And that would normally cost, you know, $10,000-$15,000 without a question. So people have become to rely on me and call me for different avenues. I spoke to you a little earlier, and we just finished an operation on a macaque that had gotten his arm caught in an enclosure, totally broke it, full fracture. But now he's all back together. He's doing good. We wrapped him all up, and he's off to his new home. So that's kind of like what we do. And I'm able to get in there with the animal. And when things are hurt, they're pretty much, that's when they're really dangerous. When it comes to food, breeding, or an injury, that's when an animal's at its heightened kill mode or attack mode or self-preservation type mode. And I'm able to come in and coerce this thing and kind of be on a one-on-one level so we can get in there to help it so it doesn't do any more damage to itself. And it just keeps going. It keeps going and going.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm trying to show you some paperwork that I have here. We did a little lion. We did a little update on a little female lion not too long ago, and she's all healthy now. And like I said, we're really lucky that I'm able to work with these veterinarians. I'm not going to say their names now because a lot of them like to help, and they just donate their time, and they're not interested in advertising. And we do have some support from some really wonderful people that also donate money and helping that aren't even interested in the write-off. We are a 501c3, but a lot of the people that help don't even need the write-off. I know I need it. I'm starving. You know, I got $20 in my pocket every day, and that's about it.
Yeah, this is really interesting because, you know, this is one of the common pieces because there's what you do, and what you do is enjoying great success, right? Like great reputation, great success in terms of what would be the criteria for the what you do really being, you know.
It's a two-edged sword. I get two kind of write-ups. You know, I was in California at the Westlake Village Animal Hospital. Really, really neat facility. And, they help me out. I go out there and I visit with them. We do school programs. I also work with Jesse Williams down in Miami. And, you know, they do all kind of stuff for kids that don't have enough money or family don't have enough money. And, during this same time I was in California doing a fundraiser for children, I got a write-up here in a local paper saying I was reckless and crazy. So it's like, and Fish and Game kind of looks at me like that. Although they call me and I work with them to move their animals. And so it's like, I'm the guy that doesn't use the gun. I don't use the stick. I don't use force. And that's my whole delivery. I come in completely arms open and just try to be on a one-on-one basis with them. So it's a double-edged sword. But so, it works for the animals, so I don't really care what everyone says.
So this is really interesting, and we'll get back to this in a moment. But I just want a presence for our listeners. Travis, you're talking about literally walking in, just you, to these animal rescue situations where it's you and the animal can be agitated, upset, scared. Like, this is unusual. This is very unique for how rescues are often dealt with in terms of the people who are taking care of the situation or mitigating it.
Correct. Sometimes, you know, one of the last moves I did with a law enforcement entity, we had to move a 400, well, he was more like 600-pound Florida black bear. And he wanted nothing to do with anybody at all, snipping, biting, angry. And once you get to that point, you've pretty much, you know, you have to dart him. You have to put him down, things like that. And you don't always know the exact weight. You don't know what the diet was, you know. So it's like even when a human goes into surgery, they tell you the night before, don't eat, don't drink water, take this, take that. So they're able to give you the correct dosage of medication. Well, that doesn't always apply to an animal, you know. You guess, oh, I think it weighs 300. He over there guesses, thinks it weighs 450. Well, meanwhile, now you're all over the place with this medication. I was able to go in there, get him to calm down, relax, and we walked him right into a trailer, man, and got him out of there. And that is so cool to me, and that's what makes me feel good when I can get something to do what it needs to for its own good without knowing it and not harming it.
Wow. We're going to go to break right now. When we come back, we're going to be speaking more with Travis Lee. And definitely email, call in any questions you might have. This, as you can hear, is just an extraordinary opportunity to speak with someone who's out there on the front line in terms of doing things in a way that most people don't do, in an industry that is in an environment that is literally, you know, a dangerous one. Most of our businesses, most of the work we do, we're not like literally dealing with a 480-pound angry bear. When we come back, more with Travis Lee.
comes to business,
you'll find the experts here.
Voice America Business Network. As your business grows, are you growing with it? Do you have the right balance of time, attention, work, and personal life? Take the growing pains out of growth and tune into The Business Edge with Marcia Zeidel. If you are spending most of your energy managing problems rather than focusing on taking your business to the next level, our program will give you the steps you need to make sure you have everything in place for forward-thinking business leadership. The Business Edge is heard every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Do you want to know what's really going on these days? Well, Capital Thinking takes you inside the worlds of policy, politics, law, and business. What happens in Washington, on Wall Street, and in our nation's legal system impacts your business every day. We're taking you on a behind-the-scenes tour of all of it. Each week, we bring you unfiltered conversation with a variety of influential policymakers, lawyers, and business leaders. I'm Kevin O'Neill, and I'm your host as Capital Thinking tours the halls of power. Join me for Capital Thinking on the Voice America Business Network each Thursday at noon Eastern and 9 a.m. Pacific Time.
Are you a business innovator, or are you just sitting on the sidelines? Tune in every week for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP. Host Bonnie D. Graham talks to a cross-section of the movers and shakers who are leading by example. They will share best practices and innovative ideas to keep you thinking and moving along with the best. Join us for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP, Wednesday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. We'd love to hear from you today. Please call in to our program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd prefer, send an email to Jen Sabin at jensabin.com. And remember, that's two N's in Jen. Now, back to Moving Forward.
Hello and welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to Moving Forward. I'm Jen Sabin, and today we're speaking with Travis Lee, the founder of Greenfield Reserve. Now, what if you've been here for the first segment and you're just tuning in, one of the things that will be incredibly obvious, glaring, palpable, is Travis's passion for what he does. I mean, it's just extraordinary. Travis, when I'm listening to you speak about it, you are so engaged, you are so immersed, you're such positive energy, and in terms of what you do and what Greenfield provides. And what I'm curious about is, how do those who need what you do know about you? Like, how do they get to Greenfield Reserve?
Well, everyone already kind of knows about Travis. You know, this field is somewhat small. There's a lot of animals out there, but I can pretty much guarantee about every fishing game and most of the sheriff's departments know my name one way or the other, all in a positive. And a lot of these people that have permits, I probably assisted or met them over the past 20 years. So we all know each other, and they continuously call me. I don't like do the domestic dogs or the snake call or the alligator call. I mean, I would help you and I'm sending you the right direction, or if it was an emergency situation, I'm not going to say no. But anyone with an exotic license and permit has totally already got my contacts, and they do call me. And a lot of people try to do it on their own, and that's just where it's at. You know, we all want to be independent, but we all try to help each other. And positive energy is a wonderful thing you said, and that really helps. Going in and being positive completely helps. Being mad, aggravated, and angry at an animal that is not in charge of its life or had no, you know, choice in the matter of being in a cage or a breeder. You know, these poor animals have no direction or choice of life. They're captive. So I just try to understand that and help them best we can.
That's really, really interesting. Now, I know you're not for profit, and
correct.
You know, how do you? I mean, is the business model, all right? So I'm going after something here. So there's, you know, the what you do, which you are just really top of your field. You're like the animal whisperer, you know, in terms of this, like to use kind of that pop culture, like that you go in and we're talking about a 480 pound, or I'm sorry, if it's 400 or 380, that's still an angry bear. I mean, if anyone's ever seen a bear or been around that, you know, it's just, it's, this is not something that for most of us, you know, who are a bit faint of heart, you know, it's not something you walk into and, you know, kind of vulnerable, completely vulnerable, and be able to diffuse it to where there's something that's kind of docile happening, you know, that there's something that's not, you know, a potential violent situation in that moment. Now, so there's what you do, there's all this piece, but then there's, you mentioned before, you know, the maintenance. You literally have a reserve. You have a lot of wonderful, wonderful members of the community that help to serve animals, you know, be it veterinarians who donate. But how does it all work in this world? You know, somebody with a permit calls you. Like, do they pay you? What's the business
model?
Well,
you know, that's the funny part. And real quick, you know, when you say walk into an enclosure with an animal or whatnot, If it's just a bad day for that animal or I get the wrong vibe, I'm not going in there. I don't have any kind of suicidal tendencies. I don't want to get hurt, or I don't want the animal to get hurt while hurting
gotcha.
Me. So, you know, we govern it that way, and I'm not like a derelict that just goes running in there. I have been, and it, you know, it's crazy, but, you know, there's off days and there's on days. It's just, if it's not a good day, we're just not going to do it today. We'll wait till we feel better about it. Mm-hmm. Now about the being paid, you know, it's funny. A lot of these entities will give you gas money. Other than that, the bill goes to the person housing it or the one doing the surgery or the medication, which can get, you know, quite extensive. And I'm kind of neither of those. I'm pretty much the gas money guy. You know, I'll go there, and to be honest with you, I feel bad for taking their gas money, so I won't even take their gas money. I've driven around town. I have about, you know, 5 to 20 people, depending upon the emergency. I'll put a call out and I'll go, hey guys, I've got this situation going on, you know, in Orlando or Miami or whatnot, or Gainesville. And a couple people, I say, hey, I need $1,000, you know, and I need it within the next 30 minutes. And some people say, cool, come by for 100, come by for 200. And then I get the one guy that says, call me on your way out so I can give you what you don't have. You know, so the things like that help. But I don't, you know, that's the bad part. My girlfriend's really upset for that. I don't get really paid for what I do. Money does come in here or there, but it just covers, you know, expenses, daily expenses of me going from one place to the other. Last night and today, we were down in Miami with that one monkey, and I have to go back down. We have to pull another monkey that has a little tumor on her belly, which is very common for spider monkeys, for females. And, we're going to go have that removed. So we're covering expenses going down there and back. I've got a wonderful veterinarian, a couple of them, that do the surgeries free, which is just amazing that people do that. And that, you know, I think that's my pay, actually. Me being able to network to help these animals is my reward. I'm fortunate enough to where I'm comfortable enough and I can maintain my livelihood, which is, you know, I have one motorcycle and one beat-up car right now, and I'm happy. I'm good to go, and I have a paddleboard. So, which you know, because I've been over by your friends with paddleboard, and we've actually taken animals out there for water therapy. We did a grade 4 luxated patella on a tiger. That means his kneecap was born kind of like on the outside of the knee, not on the outside of the skin, but to the left, and so it wouldn't bend right, and we took him in, we gave him, did his little surgery, and then water therapy is the best way. It's less restrictive than doing anything else. Plus, believe it or not, tigers and cougars love the water. So I'll take them out on a paddleboard out in the ocean or in a safe area, not near the public, and we'll let them swim and just stretch, work those muscles. And I've had nothing but a 100% success rate on that so far. And once again, we have people that just help out, donate during those times. I have the dive boat in Boynton Beach, Splashdown Divers, Lynn Simmons. She donates a lot of her time and all her fuel to any of my animals anytime we need it. So we have really cool support from everybody everywhere. It's a lot of fun. I'm really glad I'm doing what I'm doing.
You know, and again, I didn't know that this was what was going to show up, but the thing that is just so striking about when you talk, Travis, because, you know, certainly it sounds like on the financial piece, it all gets handled, and yet it's a little bit of like the starving artist piece, right? Like, you know, and any of my clients that have worked with me have, you know, one of my mantras is there's no honor in being a starving artist. Like, it's not something you work towards. It's, you know,
not till you're dead for 50 years.
Right? So, you know, it's not the badge of honor. And at the same time, what is so clear and what so many people, and for our listeners, if you're in business, does your level of enjoyment, engagement, passion, is it a match for the standard that Travis is setting? I mean, you are so much enjoying what you're doing, like the doing of it all, the kind of adventure of it all, and maybe even like a little bit of the adrenaline of like the sorting the money piece out. But this is something that, you know, on the show again and again, I talk about, you know, people say use a worm, it's kind of corporate jargon, best practices. And that's really just like what works well, right?
Right.
And one of the things I say about best practices is once you integrate or identify a best practice, it's no longer a best practice. That's the new standard. So it's not the best practice. That's now the floor. Like, that's just how it is, right? Because referring it to as a best practice is like you've kind of maxed something out versus, okay, this is our new standard. You know, it's a different dynamic. And what I would love is for all our listeners to have Trav, your enthusiasm and commitment and pride, not hubris, but really pride. Like, it matters. And it matters to you, and it matters to the animals in the community you serve, like, to have that be the new standard. Can you imagine how that could transform businesses?
You know, I don't, thank goodness I'm able to delegate a lot of that. I went to Catholic school and military school, and so, you know, I've got a little bit of education behind me. But I'm I'm just in the field kind of guy. So luckily I'm able to delegate a lot of the business strategy and whatnot. And my brother's actually climbing on board, which is exciting. And he's got a few ideas. We found some properties that we're trying to get, to, you know, help facilitate all these critters that we keep grabbing and saving and moving around. And I re-rescued animals a couple times. You know, you put them on one property, then someone gets ill, finances change, so you got to remove them, you know, relocate them again and again. And the networking is just a fantastic thing. But the business sense, I got to tell you, I delegate a lot of that.
We're going to go to break. When we come back, let's you know, explore some more and hear some more about the journey of Travis Lee and Greenfield Reserve. And by the way, for our listeners, you can look up more about Greenfield Reserve at www.greenfieldreserve.com. That's greenfieldreserve.com. But we are going to come back more with Travis after this break.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
How can we Americans realize our dreams to earn a living? How can you pursue your dream and make money as an owner or an employee? Learn how at The American Business Person, the online weekly radio talk show hosted by Rich Killian. Today's business leaders share how to succeed and what fails. If you own a new or established business or ever hope to, you must tune in. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Central, and noon Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel or listen on demand to our archived shows.
In sales, are you a lion or a vulture? Lions don't wait, they just go for it. Vultures hang around until the lions are finished and just pick up the scraps. How can you set yourself apart as a lion? Join the other aspiring sales lions and listen to Forget Patience, Let's Sell Something with host Ty Maynard. You'll learn the tips and strategies of top sales professionals. You'll gain more clients at a faster rate and at higher margins. If you're a sales professional, business owner, or executive, listen in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
Bob Pritchard has over 30 years of experience as a straight-talking business consultant and author working with some of the top Fortune 500 companies. Now he's come to the Voice America Business Channel to help you and your business. Tune in to the Bob Pritchard Radio Show for information about starting and successfully running a profitable business. From the movers and shakers to great marketing screw-ups, you can't afford to miss a single edition of the Bob Pritchard Radio Show. Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Business.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. We'd love to hear from you today. Please call in to our program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd prefer, send an email to Jen Sabin at jensabin.com. And remember, that's two N's in Jen. Now, back to Moving Forward.
Hello, and welcome back, everyone. This is Moving Forward. I'm Jen Sabin, and today we're speaking with Travis Lee, the founder of Greenfield Reserve, a man who does extraordinary work in terms of rescuing and helping exotic animals and various species. And, you know, one of the reasons why this show was put together, right, is because everything is always presented to us as business owners, as those of us who are building companies, in a very neat, nice little package. And that's not the real world. The real world is it's messy. There are things that are challenging. And one of the exquisite things is our guests who have enjoyed great success, there's also places where it isn't easy, where there still are challenges. And that's part of, you know, all of it and the, kind of the journey of all of this, if I dare call it that. And in speaking with Travis, for our listeners who heard, there was this comment about, you know, and I'm even hesitant to take, you know, I'm reluctant to take money for gas money. One of the common denominators that I've noticed in working with people who are not-for-profit or 501(c)(3)s is they're so passionate about what they do. And for our listeners, you could hear it. Travis, it's so clear. It screams, right, that the work they do, making a difference, impacting the community and serving the community they want to serve is so important. So I'm just putting out there to consider that when we make a fundamental difference for someone and help them, and they, part of how they can express appreciation or gratitude for that value that was received is through currency, is through money, is by paying for something. And in many ways, what we're, by not either being open to receiving it or asking for it or in the form, even if it's the form of an invitation for a donation, if you'd like to contribute to help others, that in a way it's kiboshing their ability to go beyond a thank you. Like, you know, when somebody does something that really makes a big difference for us, you know, we want to thank them, and often we want to do more than just thank them, you know, and, you know, accepting payment or money. It's not you, it's for the what, it's not you, it's not personal, it's not Susan, Jack, Johnny, this is for you. It's thank you, this is for what you just provided for me. This is for saving this animal. This is for making a difference to this, you know, part of our family that we love, or part of our environment that, or part of our, you know, whatever. I don't want to use the wrong language in terms of animals. I'll get a gazillion emails and phone calls, right? But there really is, and it's something to consider. You know, when I said before, there's no honor in being a starving artist. It's not something we strive for, and sometimes we don't even realize that we're. It takes a lot more energy and work not to receive than it does to receive. And a place to begin for some is just, you know, putting it out there like an invitation. It could be accepted or declined. There's no attachment. It's not a have to if you're at that place where it's really uncomfortable. It's something to experiment with and give people the opportunity to contribute in a way that honors how they've. So I'll get off my soapbox. But there's something to consider there. All right. So, Travis, thank you for letting me go off on my, you know, stand on my soapbox, as I call it.
You bet. Very well said.
Okay.
I kind of see what you're saying there. You know, accepting a donation is not coming to me. It's actually going to the career I've chosen, the animal that's currently being rescued or helped or medicated, I guess.
Yeah, that's going to Greenfield Reserve, so it could have reserves. Like,
correct.
Imagine if you had an extra $20, $50, $100,000 in the kitty, what that would do for Greenfield.
Yeah, just enclosures would get bigger for certain animals. You know, as far as I'm concerned, no cage is big enough. I hate using that word, but it's you know, it's just a matter of the fact.
Wow.
What permits are required for to house these animals. You know, they're fine, but they can always be bigger. There's just never enough room. And the way the property's going and homes are going up, you know, we need to kind of like just buy that land up out there so they don't build anymore and turn it into all of a sanctuary.
Really, 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 you know, really fascinating. So let me ask you a question. What have been, I mean, it sounds like the successes and the accomplishments, your reputation's established. You're a bit of a maverick in terms of how you go about things. You know, you're known for, like, really getting the job done in a way that is just, you know, caring for animals. And when I say animals, everyone, remember, this is a 480-pound bear. These are panthers and tigers. These are not, like, domesticated animals. These are exotic species. Yeah, this is not a chihuahua. So here's the thing. What have been some of the challenges that you've had to deal with? Like the stuff that really, you know, pulled the rug out of you, and how did you rally back?
You know, it's funny. I just became permitted or licensed with Fish and Game in the past, you know, three years or so. But I've been doing it for 20. So, you know, they call me, or another entity will call me to come and help move or do something. And I wasn't, you have to document your hours, this, that, and the other. And then, the hurricane comes in and just swallows every kind of piece of paperwork and the entire office that we had. So not having the permits during my learning of this, was difficult. And, you know, some of the difficulties is some of the people that own these animals own them for the wrong reasons, I think. And so now the poor animals, they're just for someone that isn't there for their longevity or their well-being. And that's frustrating. A lot of these people buy things that, and sometimes they don't, not necessarily they're negative, but they'll buy something not knowing what they're getting into. And that's frustrating. Thank God Fish and Game's cracking down on all of that. So getting a permit's much more difficult now, and which is awesome, and it should be. You know, it kind of needs to stay to the people that are helping them or medicating them or have a sanctuary. And I think that's pretty much where they've started to govern it. And I think it's a good thing. It's positive.
Okay, so you're seeing some changes. I want to circle back to that paperwork thing, because what I'm hearing there is – there's what you do, and again, that's the business of what you do. And one of the things that we've talked about on other shows, and certainly I've dealt with in clients, and myself having been through the events since September 11th of 2001, you know, when I was in New York, is ensuring that whatever is important exists in two places. Like now we have the cloud technology. But yeah. Having had that happen, what changes did you implement?
You know, just like you said, having things in two locations. And now I have an iPhone. You know, the iPhone wasn't around when I started this. I back everything up on my iPhone, and I have an older iPhone that I use as a backup for that. I actually forgot the password in that, funny enough. I can't even get into it. But my information's safe in there somewhere. Just backing up the information is pretty crucial. Luckily enough, I've worked with people long enough to where people in the industry, you know, don't question and refer me if I need it. So, you know, the hurricane kind of wiped us out. It actually put one of our properties underwater up in the Ocala area. We went, in 2 days, the property went 4 feet underwater. And the last thing I was worried about was my paperwork. You know, we had animals that were up to their neck in water, which they loved it, funny enough. The tigers loved the water. They thought it was great, but it's not the healthiest thing to have a cat sitting in the water 24/7. So we had to relocate all of them. And that was the beginning of losing all our paperwork, actually. I got a little off track there. Where are we at?
No, exactly where we need to be.
Okay.
So you had the, but how did you rally? Like, where did the animals go? How did you?
Man, let me tell you, a cute little lady, they call her Mama Lee, Lee Split, one of the coolest little ladies in the world. She goes to church every Sunday and drives a school bus during the week. She helped to raise a lot of the animals that I became familiar with. And she was a dear friend and kind of a neighbor within 4 or 5 miles, and she knew what was going on. She drove around, put the word out. Before you knew it, I had every horse owner, cow owner supplying, you know, bringing their fifth-wheel trailers. I mean, I literally had probably 20, 25 trailers, you know, 30-foot trailers that are, you know, made out of iron and whatnot. We had to fabricate a little bit to them, but within 2 days, we had an entire community pull together and bring us all these trailers, and they just said, take them till you need them. And the cats probably stayed on for about a month or so until we got everything rehoused somewhere else. And that was actually a really, it was a bummer, but it was actually a lot of fun. The cats had a good time doing it. It was neat. I got to meet a lot of neat people, and it was good to see that people cared and pulled together at those kind of times.
That's
and the
amazing.
The sheriff's department, the property was so underwater, we couldn't even drive to it. So I had National Guard and the Sheriff's Department picking me up at a restaurant, in the back of a restaurant, in their boat, and driving me around every day just to bring food to the cats. And they actually had a lot of fun doing that, too. It was a good time. I mean, it was a bummer, but we definitely made the best of it.
No, it sounds like an extraordinary experience, you know. People talk about collaboration and everything, and it sounds like just if you tried to deal with that on your own, it never would have worked out that way.
No.
Right? So,
you wouldn't have been able to plan that out.
You know, and for those listeners, I just want to hear, you know, where are you not being open to letting others help support and contribute? And part of it comes from, you know, also doing, you know, recognizing the difference that you make. Like here, that's an extraordinary story. And it's true, not like a story, like, you're, you know, the telling of which. We're going to go to break now. When we come back, more with Travis Lee. Stay tuned. Don't go away.
Business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Today's business marketplace is becoming increasingly global thanks to technologies that didn't even exist a few short years ago. Your business might be a startup, or you might be one of the global 500. Either way, you're probably looking at customers and competitors in faraway regions. Listen for Global Reach with host Tay Revez as she brings together experts, ideas, and listeners to help you anywhere in the world. Global Reach is broadcast every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Is your business model robust enough? In today's ever-changing business environment, people are working to transform themselves, their futures, and their business. Tune in to Business Reinvention with your host, Nancy Lynn. To stay ahead of the game in business, you have to constantly reinvent yourself and your organization. With Nancy's experience and that of her guest experts, you'll learn from stories of inspiration, innovation, and forward thinking. Listen for Business Reinvention live every Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Tune in every week for the Ellis Martin Report. Our program will bring you the news and information that you need each week. We look at publicly traded small and mid-cap companies from a variety of sectors. We'll talk to key people in the industry to bring you the foreground and background of new and up-and-comers for potential investment. Please remember, invest only at your own risk. The Ellis Martin Report is meant for information purposes only. Tune in every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Business.
Always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now toll free 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. We'd love to hear from you today. Please call in to our program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd prefer, send an email to Jen Sabin at jensabin.com. And remember, that's two N's in Jen. Now, back to Moving Forward.
Hello, and welcome back, everyone. Today, you know, we had, you know, I think it was in August, Dr. Arlene Schrupp was here talking about, the work she was doing in bringing and really transforming classical music into a way, into without compromising its integrity, into mediums that really meet where in terms of the contemporary listener, right? So, how, you know, her whole thing was, and the same way Travis, it's interesting, is, you know, we'll do anything to make sure that these animals, these exotic and particular species are really in a safe environment or have a quality of life, so to speak. You know, our Dr. Schrutt is looking around having, you know, is a leader in terms of the classical music from Juilliard to the, you know, internationally recognized pianist, et cetera. And, you know, award-winning coach, it making sure, like looking at all these young adults who are studying classical music and wanting them to have careers and positions and a place and not to see this, you know, classical music compromised and yet flourish and grow in this new millennium. And Travis, and you know, there's what you're doing. She had a 501(c)(3) as well, which is why I'm thinking about it. And one of the consistent conversations is kind of this, like, everything's good and always on the edge of, like, not enough, you know, having to, like, a couple steps away of having to scramble. So, you know, it's a really interesting dynamic. And part of what's occurring to me as we're talking is, you know, like, has Greenfield ever created a membership for people who own, you know, who have the permits? Kind of like in different parts of the country, you have things like ECM or Service America, where you take out a contract and people come and help. You know what I mean? If you have a situation, it's all paid for. Like, there's different business models that one might not necessarily overlay onto a 501(c)(3) that could really make a difference for kind of the health and well-being of Greenfield Reserve. Not that it's not all good and everything's fine, but to really be, it's like the difference between driving with a tank of gas that's full or three quarters full versus a quarter of a tank. You drive differently. Like, it's just a different experience. So, you know, one of the things I'm keen on is some continued conversation about how we can transform all this for you. But with that being said, what is it that for you, if there was someone who is starting out, like a young Travis, you know, you're going back those 10 years or to some of these people, what advice would you have for someone starting out in this arena?
Well, don't give up, and you got to make sure you enjoy it. If the reward isn't doing it and not necessarily financial, which I know is kind of not the goal, you need to make finances, but if it truly makes you happy, then you're truly going to be able to help the things that need to be helped. And I didn't realize how much I was doing that when I was little. I'd bring home everything that was broken or hurt, and it felt good. They all didn't make it, but that's okay. You know, I learned later. But, you know, just don't give up, man. If it's what you really want to do, try it. And if the reward is worth the labor that you put into it, meaning you feel good, you get the positive energy, you come home, and you're really happy after doing what you did all day long, man, it is so worth it, because I would not have traded anything for what I'm at right now. Of course, I could have probably made a few more financial, better decisions, you know, didn't know what economies were going to do and things like that, properties. But, you know, just learn all aspects of it, too. I mean, if you're talking about the animal rescue world, I wish I would have probably studied a little more in the medical field. I do sit in on surgeries. I'm hands-on. I solder, I sew, I cut, I hold. We breach it. I deal with every facet of the surgery possible, yet I'm not a veterinarian or a doctor. And I kind of wish I would have leaned in that direction. So if you're going to get an animal rescue, you know, there's a lot more than just wanting to help it. It's nice to know the medications and logistics of everything as you go along.
Mm. Outstanding. Yeah. No, and this is really valuable. I mean, really valuable, because, you know, these are, you know, some of what you're saying, like, love what you do, like, really enjoy it, have it resonate, you know,
yeah,
be engaged. And in so many places, because there's such an absence of that, or it's such a really low level of it, that when you say it, myself and for our listeners, like, it really, we really get it. Like, it makes sense. Yes. Clear. Authentic. True. Aligned. Done deal. Versus talking about it like a good idea, you know, like it should be in place. So I just so want to thank you for that, like, you know, walking the talk, being the living example of what it's like. And doesn't mean you love every day, doesn't mean that we don't have challenges, doesn't mean that we don't get kicked in the derriere on occasion. As you said, you know, not ideal to have, you know, 4 feet of water. Or whatever, you know, not ideal.
Right.
Not what you would raise your hand and say, oh, pick me for that. And yet, you do what you have to do, and you sort it out. And at the end of the day, you still get to be doing the work that you are called to do, that you are pulled to do, that you love to do, that matters and is impactful. Everyone, please check it out. www.greenfieldreserve.com. Learn more about it. You know, there's a contact them button if you have any follow-up questions for Travis, or you want to know more. And anything else before we wrap up, Travis?
And Jennifer, I just want to thank you for your time. It was wonderful being on here. And if you know, just be nice to little critters and animals. And if you have any questions at all, feel free to email me anytime for any questions. No questions too silly.
Okay. Thank you, Travis. And thank you, everyone. And for all our listeners, and you too, and myself, make this week a moving forward week. Take care, all.
Thank you again for tuning in to Moving Forward. Please join Jen Sabin again next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Make your week a moving forward week.